Welcome to episode 139 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. And it's been 5 weeks, but I'm back in the chair. I know Finn Fish, if no one else has missed me. But enough of that, who is on the panel with me this week? Well, nobody. It's my turn to go solo, although not quite, as Kai has kindly put together his take on all things Money in the Bank for us this week. But I get to do the rest. So where do we start? Well, we always do kick this show off with the emails. Don't forget, if you want to get involved, you can contribute to the show with your emails, sending them to eurouppercut@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can always message us on the Twitter at the EU Pod. Now, let's see who has emailed us this week. Actually, it goes without saying, we all know who it is. It's Mr. Fourth Row, a dedicated man right there. Let's see what he's got to say for himself. Hello, European Uppercut Podcast. It's a go for Mr. Fourth Row this week, and I might be wearing my rose-coloured glasses, and I might have had a dream that I stole Doc Brown's DeLorean and travelled to the future and saw some things that might be happening with Impact Wrestling. Before I get into that, I believe I called that Impact Wrestling was going to travel and do some shows on the road. Yep, that is currently scheduled to take place. I'm going to interrupt your email there, Mr. Fourth Row. Yeah, but you know, with the way things were going, with the change, it was kind of an unwritten, predictable nature that was going to happen. So, don't get too carried away with that prediction. But anyway, now for my next prediction, he says, while I watched Impact this week, I was wondering if my TV was going haywire as Impact logo colours changed, looking a lot like GFW's colours. Is this a sign of things to come? I think so, and here's my reasoning. GFW travelled when they had more of a presence, and now Impact has gotten back on the road, even if only for a few shows. GFW has branded belts. Impact is still using the TNA belts. Anyways, sorry for the long email, but what are your thoughts? Mr. Fourth Row, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Well, actually, Mr. Fourth Row, my thoughts on this are actually quite interesting in that if Impact change their name, they're going to have a problem. If they play with the logo too much, they're going to just confuse and annoy fans. They need to stop changing things and start focusing on what they're working with. They need to look at what they're going to do with these titles. I'm assuming a lot of these are just getting merged, straightforward merges into what will become the Impact Wrestling titles or whatever level they are at, whichever tier they belong to. So it will be the Impact World Wrestling Champion. It will be the Impact Tag Team Champions, the Impact X Division title, and the Impact Women's Championship, all those kind of things. And I think it's as simple as that. In terms of what they're doing with colours and stuff now, they are trying to embrace the fact that they are working alongside GFW as it stands at the moment. But I do firmly believe that they just need to let the GFW name slip away, because let's be honest, it was rank. It's a terrible name and it just needs to drift off. Now, sorry, Jeff Jarrett, I know that's your baby and you looked after that baby for a little while now, but that baby just isn't growing up effectively. It's not what we wanted from GFW. We were looking for a new kind of challenger for that number two spot, but we didn't get that, and it was very obvious very early on that it seemed to be that we weren't going to get that. So anyway, Mr. Fourth Row, I hope that kind of answers your question. It's from the way that I see things. Thank you for your email. As always, keep them coming in. We do appreciate it. And what about you? Why are you not sending us emails? Send them in for next week. We'd appreciate hearing from you. Send them, as I said before, to eurouppercut@gmail.com, or of course, you can always message us at the EU Pod on Twitter.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Get a good feeling. And now on the European Uppercut, it's time to go to New Zealand, or is it Australia? I must ask Kai. Anyway,
it's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. The Mae Young Classic tournament list is taking shape. WWE has now confirmed Progress Women's Champion Toni Storm, WWE NXT Superstar Lacey Evans and Sarah Logan, formerly known as Crazy Mary Dobson, and AAA CMLL star Princessa Sirhit. for the tournament. These four join the list that includes Xiao Zi, who's the first Chinese woman to sign a developmental deal with WWE, Mary Kate, formerly known as Rosie Lotterlove in Impact Wrestling, Bianca Blair, Danielle Camilla, Julia Ho, Kimberly Frankley, formerly known as Kimberly, Victoria Gonzalez, who is the daughter of Rudy Boy Gonzalez, and Tainara Mello. On a related note, Becky Lynch spoke with the Hindustan Times and may have revealed that former UFC star and MMA 4 horsewoman Shayna Baszler, who has some indie pro wrestling experience, will be involved in the tournament. Becky commented, "I think it is a great opportunity for the wrestlers to show their talent on such a big stage, and it is brilliant that they will have a complete show all to themselves. I'll be there to see every match, and this can potentially change the entire scene of women's wrestling in the WWE."
That is one nice thing about having a deaf co-worker. Well, that, and I can work on my verbal sound effects and not feel self-conscious about the ones that aren't quite there yet.
The new Table for Three with Eve Torres, Kelly Kelly and Maryse has been confirmed to air on the WWE Network after Raw this week.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this. Shove it, shove it, shove it, shove it, shove it.
NXT Women's Champion Asuka will put her coveted title on the line against the crazed Nikki Cross on the June 28 episode of NXT. The title showdown will be a last woman standing contest, further adding to the uncertainty and chaos surrounding the huge championship contest. The extreme stipulation was a logical next step in Asuka and Cross's rivalry after the two brawled throughout Full Sail University on the June 14 episode of NXT. Along with Ruby Riott, they competed in a triple threat elimination match for the NXT Women's title. After Riott had been eliminated, Asuka and Cross fought outside the arena, only to return and eventually crash through a table, leaving them laid out in a heap of carnage.
That's a helicopter hovering over a woman swimming in a pool. I also do animals. Here's a mouse.
Mouse?
The big announcement from Seth Rollins is that he is on the cover of WWE 2K18 video game. Rollins made the announcement on ESPN SportsCenter Monday morning and noted that being on the cover is exciting, and while he is a gamer, it's weird to see his face on the cover. WWE 2K18 hits stores in the fall on PS4 and Xbox One. It is also rumored to be on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that one's red.
And celebrating birthdays this week, wrestling legend Larry Henning turns 81.
How you doing?
Former WCW and WWE star Big Vito turns 53.
How you doing?
Former WWE star Bam Neely turns 42.
How you doing?
And former WCW star Kenny Chaos turns 47.
How you doing?
Also, today would have been the 71st birthday of Bruiser Brody.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Yes, there it is right there. Thanks again to the genuine blockbusting legend that is GBL for the news, as always. And just a couple of quick thoughts and a couple of these. First, happy birthday to all the birthdays mentioned there. From there, I'm going to go into Shayna Baszler in the Mae Young Classic. Could it be an interesting move? I think it's a fantastic move. Certainly going to bring eyes to the product. And if that is the case, it certainly will have my attention. Table for Three, Kelly Kelly, Eve and Maryse aired on Monday night. I haven't watched it yet. I've not seen the last couple, so that's plenty for me to get into. If you've watched any of the recent Table for Threes, do let us know your thoughts on those on Twitter at the EUPod. And then, of course, June 28th, Asuka defends her women's title against Nikki Cross, Scotland's very own Nikki Cross, on June the 28th. Nikki's come a very long way in a very short time. It's great to see the position she's in. I really, really, really would like to see Nikki holding that title. But do I see it happening this soon? And it's hard to say because Asuka's run has been absolutely tremendous. If you're going to knock Goldberg off a top spot, then you know how long can you go? You could probably go for a very long time indeed. So I don't see Asuka losing that anytime soon. But if she's going to lose the title, I'd love it to be Nikki Cross, as I say. But that's all for the news. Going to swiftly move on with this show.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but I've got no plans on making this a two-hour-long show and rambling on and boring you to death with my thoughts and opinions on this, that, or the other. I'm just getting straight on with it. nailing things because I've got a busy day ahead. I'm supposed to be working right now. I've taken time out to do this, so I really should get back to work. But anyway, let's get into the core focus of today's episode. Sunday night was Money in the Bank, and we're going to give you our feedback on that, courtesy of Kai, and then I'll quickly chat through a little bit about what's been happening with our Trending Topics Network league table in terms of the picks after that. So let's just see what Kai had to say about the pay-per-view itself.
You're listening to the Money in the Bank recap segment with myself, Kai Valentine. Thank you very much to the living legend for returning to the European Uppercut podcast and taking the helm back this week. I'm having an incredibly busy week ahead. For those who listened last week, you'll know that I'm moving house. I'm moving house, yet I don't have a house to move into yet. That's how busy these things are. So moving in with my girlfriend's parents, always the fun part, and also going to job interviews. Just went and did a job interview today at a how can I describe them? A very, very, well, knowing the results of it, I'm going to say an amazing discount, amazing discount supermarket chain who have offered me a trial shift. So I will be heading there later this week. I've also got a couple of other trial shifts coming up this week and another interview. So I'm very, very happy right now. But that's not the only reason why I'm happy. I've just got off a sweltering hot train. That also makes me happy. And also, I've just finished watching Money in the Bank. I'm recording this on Monday at 5:04 p.m. to be precise, GMT time, UK time, and I have literally just finished it on the way home. I've used up all my personal hotspot data to watch Money in the Bank, but I am actually relatively happy. Yeah, I'm feeling good. So I thought I will come straight down to the studio and talk about it with you all. Did you enjoy Money in the Bank? Let us know. EuroUppercut@gmail.com. I'm sure Mr. Fourthrow already did it earlier. Who knows? I hope he did. Please don't leave just because I do. I mean, I know I'm your favourite, but anyway, let's get in to talking about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And I want to kick things off with the very first match, top of the card. I didn't catch the pre-show, so I'm not sure what was on there. I think it was the Colognes and something else, but it wasn't on our sheet. So we're going to kick things off and start talking about Money in the Bank. So we're going to kick things off with the very top of the card, and that was, of course, the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match to crown the first ever Miss Money in the Bank. As someone who hasn't watched any of the build-up to this, it was really cool to see this with fresh eyes, see where the characters are at the moment, see how they all interact with each other, and also hear the word Miss Money in the Bank. I never knew that they were going with that slogan, but it makes sense because, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank, etc. The match I was really enjoying. I thought that it was really fun. I thought there were some great spots in there. I thought that all members of the five women, there was five women. No, there was four women. Five women, sorry. Did an amazing job. Becky is always awesome in the ring, and Charlotte. Tamina, looking good. It's the first time that I've, well, looking good in the ring. I'm just not into that. Someone will make a soundbite out of that. Anyway, let's just carry on. Alright, so Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Natalia, Tamina, Carmella to get the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And if this had been not the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, I would have been super, super happy with how things turned out. And that's where the issue comes in. The first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match, I was there watching it going, yeah, this is what I love about wrestling. Something new, something fresh, something really exciting. Oh, James Ellsworth just grabbed the championship. Grabbed the briefcase and dropped it down to Karma. Yeah, that's never been done before, but it gives me a bit of a bit of a sick feeling in the back of my mouth. I gotta admit, there was just something about it. Yes, it drew nuclear heat, but I spent the whole time going, come on, this is a work. Come on, Daniel Bryan's coming out. We keep hearing about how he's on his way back. Oh, Shane McMahon's gonna come out and sort this out. And then I spent the whole show going, yes, this is great. This is going to be the main event now. They're going to start the show off with it, and then they're going to have a rematch in the main event because they're going to come out and say, no, that's bullshit ending. We're going to go for it now. And that never happened. And it got me quite sad and disappointed because I was watching the match with so much hope of it being great. And I would have loved Carmella to win. In fact, I did love Carmella winning. Put it this way, she was my pick. But I did have a little bit of a bad taste about James Ellsworth being involved, and maybe that's good. Maybe that's actually a good thing. Maybe it's great that I hated it, because if it really wound me up this much, then they've done their job. They've done more than what Carmella just winning it out of nowhere could have ever done for me. And it shows that she's this spoilt princess who has everything thrown, dropped into her lap. And maybe I'm selling it to myself now. Maybe I am selling it to myself. But at the time, I just remember being sat on the train. Maybe the heat was getting to me and I was just there going, no, this is not how I wanted it to end. But maybe they're doing their job properly. So I went with Carmella. I got it correct. I put a +5 on it. Thank you very much, James Ellsworth. I am interested to see where this goes on Tuesday night. Now, you will all know what's happening, because this is going to be probably put out on like Thursday when Legends put the whole show together. So actually, I'm more behind than the people that you heard before me, or person, more likely. So that's a bit interesting. But for now, I don't know what's happening on Tuesday. Maybe there'll be a big payoff that we'll love. And is it SummerSlam, the next SmackDown pay-per-view? Possibly SummerSlam, another rematch, ladder match. Could be great. TLC. No, let's not get our hopes up. So I went with Carmella, as did quite a few people on the sheet. T-Mac going with Charlotte. Kiwi with Natalia. Nobody went with Tamina. One with Lynch, and that was Biohazard. So quite a few people going Charlotte, Carmella, but Carmella gets it. She's the first ever Miss Money in the Bank. Always going to be in the record books. Mind you, the great Carly was a world champion. So anyway, let's move on to the next match. I do want to point out that our sheet has still not been updated. It's not been updated with all the green and red. We have a spreadsheet for people who don't know, which has all the results on, and I normally make it all green and red, but I've literally just finished watching it at home. I watched it on the train, I got home, watched the end of the main event, and then came here to the studio to record this. I have no notes on me. I'm just going off what was coming to my mind at the time, and I think this is quite a fun way to do it. So I don't know really all the points because they've not been added up, but I'll try and keep you up to date as it goes along. So Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Natalia and Tamina versus Carmella ends with that one with Carmella as Miss Money in the Bank. On to the next match, and it's the Usos, or the Boosos, versus the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Really exciting match. I really enjoyed this one. I thought that it was fun, it was energetic, and there was a lot going on. Yes, I was boiling hot in the heat, but it was what I love about wrestling. Just lots of, there was psychology behind it, there was storytelling, and all this athletic ability as well, and a couple of great spots in there. Top class, in my opinion. One of the better matches of the night. And there was quite a few decent matches. There wasn't a bad match on this card. Really? No, there wasn't a bad match. I mean, Lana, Naomi, Was it show stealing? I'm forgetting the Ascension versus the Fashion Police. Yes, maybe not. Next match on the card then was, like I said, the Usos versus New Day Tag Team Championships. I thought New Day were going to win, but no. That would be too simple, Kai, just to put the championships back on them. Who would put 5 points on it? Only yourself and Adam Pearson. Even Kiwi put +3 on it. And Cart +5, Mountie +5. Well, Manti was a big threat last year, so actually I'm quite glad that he didn't do it. Me and Mounty always seem to be on similar points. It's becoming a long-running thing, for sure. So very excited about that one. It was the Usos getting the win, and I was happy to see it. I mean, Usos, they're doing really well since they've turned heel. Really enjoying them, and yeah, the New Day are going to win the championships back at some point, but it's great to see them putting in the work as well. Very good, very glad with that match, very happy, and let's move on to the next one. Next up we have, it was Naomi versus Lana, I believe. Naomi versus Lana was, yes, next. And Naomi defeated Lana by submission in 7 minutes 30. Yeah, not bad. Not a bad showing for Lana. The fans seem to be in for her. Into her. In for her. Hopefully they're in for her if she's a heel, but in to her. Yeah. I know a lot of people who'd like to be into her. Myself included. Let's hope my girlfriend never hears that. Right, anyway, on to... So in this match, Naomi defeated Lana by submission, 7 minutes 30, and retained the SmackDown Women's Championship. Saw Carmella run out. I was really happy that this didn't end like that, because I was really thinking to myself, well, oh wow, could this be so quick that that's going to happen? And I was still a bit reeling from before. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm happy with the fact that she didn't cash in. But it's one of those things that's going to be happening a few times, multiple times over the next weeks, months, possibly up to a year. And Carmella sneaking around with James Ellsworth by her side could be very, very interesting indeed. I mean, hopefully they don't keep it to a point like where Dolph was doing it every other week and people like that. But actually, in these opening moments, it kind of just sets that reminder in there for whoever is champion that Carmella's on your back and she's got a guaranteed title shot anytime she wants. Really interesting storytelling there. And Lana lost out, but only by... It wasn't a serious loss, so she wouldn't have been... It wouldn't knock her stock anyway. So, and plus, it's her debut singles match. She can work from there. But it's great to see that she's been putting time in the ring. Great that this new gimmick has been sort of growing, and I think it's going to continue to grow. And yeah, positive things to come. Everything I've seen of Lana, like, out of character, she's been... seems like a really lovely person and someone that puts in the work. So if they're gonna try, if someone's gonna try hard, they're gonna give you chances. That's exactly where our next match comes in. But before we get to that, let's have a look at the sheet, because a lot of people, well, for the Usos versus New Day, it was very split. Like I said, there was, I went through those ones. Yeah, New Day, we've sorted that one. This one was actually pretty split as well. Naomi, Lana, yeah, pretty 50-50, to be honest. A couple more people maybe going for Naomi. I put a +5 on it, so I was very happy when she didn't win. So sorry, Lana, but Naomi's my girl at that point. So I went with +5 there, and so did Adam Pearson as well. He went with a +5. Lots of people going with +5s and stuff on Naomi. Fantastic work there by Mr. Fourth Row for getting a +5 on that one. In fact, Mr. Fourth Row, you have got everything right except for the women's championship, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Charlotte. Ah, missed out on that one, didn't you, buddy? Gosh, he's going to still be in the lead. We can't let him win. We can't let an American win. Anyway, let's carry on. So, yeah, lots of people going with Naomi there and putting points on it. But luckily, anyone who put Lana didn't bet any points on it. On to the next match, and it was Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. Now, I have not watched basically any of Jinder Mahal's reign since he won the title, and I am actually really impressed. I was really happy to see his step onto this level. It felt like, as someone who hasn't watched for 4 weeks, I've gone away, I've come back, and I feel like they've built Jinder into this massive star. Honestly, it feels big to me, and I feel like if I was sat there with someone like Maisie watching it, or someone who's not a big WWE guy, then they would, or wrestling person, then they may actually tune in and go, wow, Jinder Mahal. Has he been, you know, big for a long time? And I go, no. He jobbed out until like a week after WrestleMania this year for like 5 years. So it's interesting to see that for sure. And I'm very, very happy that Jinder has been built to this level. We saw everyone and their father on the front row. Let's face it, off the top of my head, there was Ric Flair there, Sergeant Slaughter, Kurt Hennig's father, which is, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, I apologise. We saw like Cowboy Bob Orton there. I mean, it was like the wrestling retirement home, but it was awesome. It was like the wrestling, it was like a retirement home, but without like the smell of shit, just plain old wrestling goodness. That's a really bad analogy. Anyway, let's move on. Let's keep talking then about this match. Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. I went with Jinder Mahal. I'm so glad that it happened. Jinder, don't hinder Jinder, because the modern day Maharaja is still the WWE champion. Loved this match. Really, really happy with it. It was just really entertaining to watch, some great spots, and I'm loving the Singh brothers. I've got to admit, loving the Singh brothers simply because they are just brilliant for throwing around. You can throw them across the ring, whatever. It's amazing to see, and just, they know that their place at the minute is just to get the shit kicked out of them by Randy Orton, and it's working a charm. Randy, I'm normally not the biggest Randy Orton fan. I'm a bit like, oh, he can be a little bit bland sometimes, a little bit boring, but I can't get, like, whenever he gets hold of one of the Singh brothers, it's just magic. He can be thrown anywhere, and they can be thrown anywhere, and that's brilliant, especially that RKO through the announce table. Wow. So Jinder Mahal gets the win after all the distractions by Randy beating up the Singh brothers. I love the legends getting involved as well. Sergeant Slaughter's kind of just sat there as Bob Orton's about to get hit. Not cool. Not cool, Slaughter. You better be there for your buddy. What happened to Bob Orton's arm? I'm really hoping that Bob Orton stays around on TV. And the next time we see him, we find out that one of the Singh brothers holding his shirt broke his arm again. That would be fantastic. But no, I was saying last week about how I have, you know, wonderful memories of seeing Bob Orton as a part of Randy Orton's rivalry with The Undertaker. So him being back on TV, he's one of the legends, as were a lot of the other legends that were at ringside. They're not the obvious legends. They're not the IRS. They're not the Ted DiBiases. They're not... they're not Ric Flair. Well, they were Ric Flair, but you see what I mean. And you get to see them very, very little. So when we do see them, we go, oh, that's actually a really cool That's cool. That's not Ron Simmons saying damn. That's Bob Orton getting attacked. Quite cool. I enjoyed it. Really did. And any time that we get to see some wrestling royalty, never a problem with me. Also, a big shout out to Harley Race. They mentioned about how he's still recovering from his fall at home. And best of wishes to you, Harley. So, like I say, Orton loses to Jinder Mahal. 20 minutes 50. And let's have a look at the sheet, shall we? So, on the sheet, we have everyone going with Mahal. Except for one person, Man in Black. Man in Black, why didn't you go with Mahal? You should have gone with Mahal, man. You went with Orton. Not a good move. I didn't dare put a plus five on it, but people like GBL, Mikey Misfit, and Ant Biohazard, and Hallmark all put on plus fives, except for Hallmark. He put a plus one, so very well done to you guys. You took that risk and it paid off. Really exciting match, fun, and one of my favourite matches of the night for sure. And that's saying something on a card this stacked. I think WWE have done a great thing here in that there weren't that many matches. I mean, other than the five that we have here, there was one other match, and that was the Ascension versus, on the main card at least, the Ascension versus the Fashion Police, the Breezango, whatever they're going by. And I've not been watching for the last few weeks. This Miami Vice thing that's going on with the Fashion Police, it's kind of funny. I did get a giggle out of it, and it's not for me, you know, it's not for us really. A lot of the people listening to this show won't be watching WWE for those kind of moments, but it's for the kids and the families, and yeah, can't blame them for that. One thing that was for all us, I hate to use the word smart wrestling fans, but yeah, smart wrestling fans, is that internet wrestling fans, I don't really know how to describe us. Anyway, one thing that was for a lot of us was Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis as debut. They walked out to big hearts on the screen, on the stage, on the walkway, and we find out that Mike Bennett is not Mike Bennett anymore. He's Mike Kanellis. Very, very good segment. I really enjoyed it. I don't know a hell of a lot about Mike Bennett, other than I've seen one or two matches of his from the independent scene where I've heard about, and I've heard about how amazing he can be. I think it's going to be fun to see. I'd loved Maria when I was a kid, so let's see where this one goes. Mike, though, going to be debuting on SmackDown very, very soon, full-time. Excited? I am. I really think that he could be a future world champion for sure here on the SmackDown stage. He's also jumped NXT. The last guy to do that, well, that was AJ Styles. Let's see whether... Will he rise up to the ranks of AJ Styles? Who knows? With Maria by his side, she's a proven heel mouthpiece, and I think they're going for this really sickly sweet kind of thing with Maria and Mike, and I think that that's going to be the great thing, because people, wrestling fans aren't big, you know, rom-com fans. I love a good rom-com, so maybe I'll start cheering them, but, you know, there's not many fans out there that will be watching this going, oh, I love how in love they are. A lot of people will be actually more jealous that Mike's with Maria, and that's always a great thing to build some heat. So yeah, really excited about that one, liking where it's going. Let's move on to the next match, and I believe it's our main event. Yes, it is. Baron Corbin defeated AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens in the Money in the Bank ladder match for a WWE match contract. Let's say that's a really weird way. Like, no wrestling fan would describe a Money in the Bank like that. Clearly, Wikipedia has not been written by a wrestling fan here. But no, Baron Corbin getting the win. Some would say that he was a favourite. I ruled him out last week, but I did say he was my second choice. I went with Sami Zayn, and a lot of other people did as well. Everyone seemed to be split between Corbin, Zayn, and a couple of Nakamura's, two AJ Styles as well, but that's the way that people were heading with it. So Corbin getting the win, a lot of people will be happy with their bets for that one. The match itself, I thought, had some great moments. Off the top of my head, we saw Baron Corbin attacking Shinsuke Nakamura, which was kind of fun, and we got to see then the big return. It built up to that big return, so we went into it and went... yeah, Nakamura's going to come back at some point. We're waiting, and it happened, and we were all so excited. And then he missed out on it, but, you know, who cares? It was a great match. The chicken wing suplex from Sami Zayn to Kevin Owens was amazing. On the side of that ring, which we've been told multiple times is the hardest part of the ring, it was great to see that move there and just wiped Owens out. What else happened that I missed? AJ Styles hanging from that briefcase. I didn't know what was going to happen, and Ziggler's face when he just fell flat on his face. That was an awesome moment for sure. Nakamura and AJ Styles moving the ladder away from each other. Another great spot. The attitude adjustment, well, Fireman's Carry attitude adjustment from AJ Styles onto the ladder on the outside. That was a great spot. Loved that. That was a moment where I went, wow, that hurt. About halfway through this match, Maisie's ex came into the room and started talking, so I kind of got distracted for a little while, so I had to read. Do you know when, have you ever had that, when you're in the middle of watching wrestling and someone who doesn't give a shit about wrestling comes in and starts running their mouth about stuff and just talking about just utter nonsense, and you're there like, come on mate, I just want to watch some wrestling, just want to watch it. But I got to see Nakamura and AJ Styles fighting, and that was awesome. I marked out most of the way through this match. Do I sound excited? I think this is good. I am actually enjoying professional wrestling again, and I'm looking forward to tuning in on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night and on SmackDown and seeing where things go. I'm excited for Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar. I'm excited overall. So, like I say, Baron Corbin gets the win. Baron Corbin's Mr. Money in the Bank. How long's he gonna hold it for? I'm gonna say that he holds it through till after Mania. I think it's going to be a long run with that Money in the Bank. But when do you think he's going to cash in? I'm going to say the night after Mania. May sound predictable, but that's where I'm going with it. What do you think? Let us know. Thank you very much for tuning in. Keep staying tuned, as Living Legend will be back in a moment. Thank you very much to Living Legend for taking all the production and the putting all this together this week. And I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to to appear on the show is going to be. It's going to be a couple of weeks of living at my partner's parents, so I won't basically have anywhere to record the show. However, I will be helping out behind the scenes with some production stuff, and I know that Living Legend is hopefully getting some exciting things in the timeline. But in a month's time, I hope to be back on the show. I may just be back next week. Probably, knowing my run of things, never know. But thank you very much for everyone who's tuned in for this run of solo shows from myself. I've incredibly enjoyed myself, and it's really helped me grow as a podcast host, as a presenter, and thank you all for the support. This is Kai Valentine and your Money in the Bank recap segment. That's what we're going with. Back to Living Legend right after this.
Thank you, Kai, indeed, and quite an in-depth breakdown of Money in the Bank there. A couple of things I wanted just to comment on, seeing the debut of the Canelli, as I'm currently calling them. I think that's the correct plural for Canelluses. The Canelli, that is an interesting debut for them. I thought it was actually quite interesting. The fact that, as you said, their guy, that Mike is now a Canellis and not a Bennett. It's kind of totally turning the whole Canellis-Bennett thing that Maria was doing in TNA on its head. So I thought that was quite good. I really can see how they get slotted into storylines as things go on. The Fashion Police. You say, Kai, that the Fashion Police isn't for us. The Fashion Police is very much for us. Some of the funniest things that WWE have ever had scripted, and a lot of it comes down to the detail, the fine detail, the things in the background, the stuff in shot. Just keep an eye on everything that's going on. I mean, Paul E's phone was brilliant. I thought that was a nice sweet touch this week. All sorts of things going on with them. And the fact that they're calling themselves Fashion Vice for this one was quite amusing. And I loved the suits they had as well. And the fact that they shot it in the old TV style aspect ratio as well, that made it quite entertaining. So that was pretty good. Now, what I'm going to do, though, is have a quick look at the pick sheet in terms of looking at how things stand with the leaderboard. And first, I'm going to look back at how things were going into Money in the Bank. And top five at that point were myself on 28, Ant on 31, Adam on 32, Cart on 32, Mr. Fourth Row on 36 points. And the team scores were Team Eat European. Announced table is 192, and Team Work was on WrestleCast 236, so 240, there's a 44 points difference, I should say, between the two shows. Now, after all the stuff that Kai's just chatted about, and if I've got my totals right, it looks like Ant is in lead with 50, Carp on 46, Fourth Row on 44, Kai on 43. I'm just trying to work out who's in fifth, because this list is not in any particular order. It looks like me on 38, if I'm right. I've not gone down any positions, which is a good thing. But the team scores are Team Eat on 269, Team Work on 310, which makes the difference 41. So we've closed the gap by a whole 3 points. So come on, Team Eat, we need to sort these Team Work guys out. I really enjoyed Money in the Bank. I thought it was a really good show all round. I'm really looking forward to watching SmackDown later on. I've got it ready to go. I've not seen it yet. I'm quite curious to see what the upshot is of the result of the Women's Money in the Bank match. And I have to give a shout out and kudos to Heavy Set on last week's Razzlecast, who very much predicted the end segment way that Ellsworth passed down that briefcase to Carmella. And Kai, you didn't like it, but you know, it does kind of fit into the whole WWE thing and creates more interesting storylines. The fact that it's got a lot of folk intrigued in what's happening in SmackDown this week says it's the right thing to do. So yes, all round great Money in the Bank. I'm going to go and start rounding off this show, though. I need to get moving. It's a busy day, as I said. So don't forget, you can contact the show, eurouppercut@gmail.com. Catch us on Twitter at EUpod. Hopefully, we're going to have a proper panel next week. Stay tuned for that. Come back and catch us then. Until then, the living legend has now left the building.